that has happened to fit. Let's look at the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, please. Standing, please, read with me in verse number 3. And let's look at this. He said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are who?
Lost."
Amen. Gospel ain't hid to the saved man. Amen. Matter of fact, that's what got him in. So thank God for it. In verse number 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." And then he goes on to say, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in," I like that word, "our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Verse number 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." You can be seated. I want to preach on tonight, blinded minds. And we'll look at these things. And there's a lot of problems with blinded minds. Let's pray. Ask the Lord to stir our hearts and give us what we stand in need of. Lord, as we are bowed here tonight, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Lord, for an open door to the throne of grace. You told us we could come in boldly. We could find help in the time of need. And here we are. Lord, I pray You'd strengthen, encourage, and have Your way in every heart. You know what people have faced today. You know what trials they've had this week. You know what problems they've had to solve and try to get an answer to. You know, Lord, what they're facing tomorrow. You know, Lord, our weaknesses and our failures and our faults. And, Lord, there's nothing that we can hide before You. But God, You know it all. And I pray tonight You'd give us what we need to help us to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And we'll give You the glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Years ago, I was trying to study and read all the books I could get my hands on. And I believe if you read a lot, it'll help you. You'll understand. And I don't believe you don't read, you ain't gonna learn much. But I was reading, and I got a hold of a book through Oliver B. Green by a man by the name of A.C. Dixon. I don't know whether you ever heard of him or not. But I read his little hardback book, and it blessed my heart. And after that, I got another or two of his and read them. And I've read it several times down through the years, this one particular thing that A.C. Dixon said, and it was a little story. And I don't like to use too many stories, but this one seemed to fit tonight for what we need. And A.C. Dixon said that he was one morning up early, just as the sun was beginning to rise, and he'd stepped outside and began to walk around on the property where he was. And as he looked out through the property, he heard the dogs howling and baying and coming in, and he looked and he saw several old dogs are chasing this little fawn. And that little deer was panting and really knew it was gone just about it because it was fearing for its life and it was running toward him. And it came on and jumped over the fence and came and stood about 10 feet from where he was. And he said he stood there and looked at it, and two of those dogs come running on up at it. And when it did, that little deer ran and put its head between his legs. And he reached down and picked that little fawn up and grabbed a hold of it. And those two dogs come up, and he said, "I kicked around on them dogs and turned and turned. And that deer just hugged up to me." And he said, "It just stayed there." And he said, "I run them off." And I said, "Turn the deer loose," and it took off. When I read that story, I thought about myself one day on my way to hell, and the hounds of hell had come out after me and run me. And I'd gone about as far as I could go, and one day I come to Jesus. I found myself at His feet. And thank God He paid my debt on Calvary, saved my sin-tossed soul. And I say it tonight, I run to the cross for pardon. And I found help, amen, at the throne, at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, thank God, He put me in the church. And then He began to grow me and strengthen me and encourage me in the church. And I thank God for the church of the living God that God has placed us in, and He's made the church the pillar, amen, of our knowledge and wisdom. And brother, I'll tell you tonight, we've learned from coming to the house of God. And we praise God for that. And then I'm glad that, thank God, time after time I've been able to frequent the throne of grace. Come boldly, he said, to the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. And I've had to go there many times like the little deer and say, Lord, the devil's on my case again. He's chasing me. Amen. Thank God he's not going to get me, but I sure don't want him bothering me either. Amen. And I go to the throne of grace and thank God for that. And then I have to pick up the Bible, or don't have to, but I do, thank God, love to pick up the Bible, and I begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior tonight when I begin to study the blessed pages of this blessed book. Amen. And then, thank God, I can lean on the Spirit. Listen, we don't need anything else. We got what we need. I'm glad tonight, as a child of God, we know that. Amen. Brother, I believe we need to have a daily source in the Lord. And our daily prayer. And here's my daily prayer. Here's what I pray. Number one, I pray, come, Holy Spirit, and shed your light in my soul, and let me stay in the light. Amen. I'm glad I'm walking in the light. These men here in darkness, the Bible talks about here, their minds are in darkness. The devil, the god of this age, have blinded their minds, and they cannot see the glorious gospel. That's why they don't want to come to church. That's why they don't want to pray. That's why they don't want to listen to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is because they're blind. I'm glad tonight the Spirit of God brought me light. Amen. The next thing I pray, Lord, reveal the Holy through the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ. You said He told you He loves you. Yes, sir. But I want Him to remind me every day. I want the Holy Spirit to remind me every day how Jesus loved me back yonder, how He loves me now, and how He's going to continue to love me. And I also pray, Lord, help me and give me wisdom and understanding. Unfold the Savior to me, that I might see Him day after day in my spiritual truth, and I might know Him, amen, every day more and more, and get closer and closer to Him. And then I pray, let the influence of the Spirit of God be upon me, that I might feel the presence of God in my life. And not only may I feel the presence of God, but others might see the presence of God in me. Amen. I want to say tonight, thank God, I'm glad He's the vine. Amen. We're the branches. Now I get to thinking about that. I get to thinking about a vine. And I know He's talking about a grapevine here in chapter 15 of the book of John. But I was thinking about a vine. And brother, that vine gives nutrients to the branches. And we're the branches. But not only does a vine give nutrients to that, but the source come from the root. And I'm glad, thank God, that we got that out of glory tonight. Amen. Now why do men not come to Christ? Why do they not want to turn? Why do they not want to get right? Why do they want to stay in sin? Because they're blinded. We've already told that tonight. Now I want to give you something to think about this for the next little bit. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four of those Gospels have the same central theme. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of those four Gospels, there are seven different events that took place in all four of those that we build our life upon. If we don't build our life upon them, we're going to go in a different direction. Now let me give them to you. Jot them down. This is simple. Not only there's an event that takes place, but there's a place. These things are set aside. Look at this. First of all, it's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first and great event you'll find out of the Gospels that He's wanting to see. And I'm giving you this for a purpose tonight. I want you to understand what I'm saying. The first thing, brother, we need to look at is the birth of Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem. Amen. Bethlehem is the house of bread. Brother, He become the bread of life, the bread of heaven. He's the manna of God tonight for you and me. Amen. I'm beginning to think about that. But at this birth, brother, the birth of Jesus Christ is fought right and left all over the world, around the world, through all the ages. The birth of Christ has been fought. Brother, it's the virgin birth, and the devil does not like the virgin birth. Amen. He does everything he can to stop it and for us to get all kinds of ideas. And all religions, amen. I mean, all the religions of the world, they don't address Jesus Christ, but in a negative way. Amen. Christianity lifts Christ. Amen. I'm glad I'm part, amen, tonight, of Christianity and of these Gospels. The second event, that God wants us to see out of these four Gospels is the baptism of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, down in the Jordan River. Amen. And you see, the devil don't like that. He don't listen. They'll tell you today and teach you today and preach to you today that baptism is essential for salvation. And they're trying to get you to go down to the water. And the devil's trying to defy what God set up. Brother, God set the baptism up for obedience to Him, for our service, and to show the world that we're walking in the newness of life. And we've come through the death, the burial, and the resurrection and walking anew for Christ. But the world says, no, baptism can save you. Baptism can cleanse you. But that's not so. So the devil fights that, does he not? The third major part in the Gospels is the temptation in the wilderness. Amen. Some folks overlook that. But that's an important thing tonight, the baptism, the death, the birth of Christ, and thirdly, the temptation in the wilderness. Brother, God shows us through His own Son here that He is the God-man, and He faced Satan in the man part. I want you to know in His humanity. And He showed that humanity could rise. Amen. Brother, He was showing us in His temptation that He was sinless, without sin. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And what does the world try to tell us tonight? That Jesus was not sinless. They try to tell us tonight that He was of sin. He born of a woman. Amen. So He is sinful. I want you to go on tonight to look at this. The fourth thing we'll find tonight mentioned as a great thing is the transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. And He was transfigured before them. And that shows His glory and His power and His authority. Amen. And we can see Him as God. See Him as deity. Amen. In the class. And brother, that's what this world fights again today. Amen. With all His strength. Then the next place we find is the crucifixion on Golgotha. You with me? The crucifixion on Golgotha. Brother, that's His death, where He died for you and me on the cross of Calvary. The devil don't like the death of Christ. Don't like to teach that, except in the way tonight that he thinks he got rid of the Son of God and brag about how he put the Son of God down. And then we'll find it goes to another, and it's the resurrection. And the resurrection took place at the garden tomb, and He came out on the third day, thank God. Amen. Amen. That's the next point. And then the last one is the ascension up into heaven off the Mount of Olives, showing us tonight that He's divine and telling us He's coming again. So let's look at that over it like this. Brother, we got to look at the virgin birth. We must believe in the virgin birth. That's a fundamental of the faith. We got to believe in the sinless life of the Son of God. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Thank God for that. Number three, we've got to look at the vicarious sufferings of Christ when He took our place on Calvary and died for you and me on the cross of Calvary. And then we got to look at the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Amen. And the ascension. And one more, the coming again of the Son of God. Now I can take them little points right there. Build my whole life upon it and be okay. Amen. But other religions don't do that. They do not do that, will not do that. Amen. Of all these events that's taken place, you can see, guess what people are looking at today? They're not interested in the death, burial, and resurrection. They're not interested in the sinless life. They're not interested in the birth, the virgin birth of Christ. They're more interested in the miracles of what Jesus performed in His day. They're more interested in the works that Jesus done. They're more interested to talk about the dead He raised, the blind He touched, the lame that He touched. And they're more interested in the miracles. And that's what this world's got to today. And it's looking for those things you can see on the outside that we can base on. But I want to tell you something, brother. I base my trust. I base my faith. I base my hope in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the blessed Son of God. I have nothing else to cling to tonight. Sure, He raised the dead. Sure, He opened the blind eyes. Sure, He touched the deaf ears. But I'll tell you tonight, brother, that's not what He came into this world for. He said He came in the world of what? To seek and to save that which was lost. And so we'll put the majority of our thoughts upon things that's not the major things that He came for. And so what happens when they don't start building their life on these major themes of the four Gospels? When they don't major on those things, the death, the burial, resurrection, the sinless life, the temptation of Christ, the virgin birth, guess what they're going to do? They're not going to be satisfied because there's nothing real in their life. So the next thing they do is they head off to the cults. Amen. You wonder why people run to the cults? There's all kinds of cults out there tonight, folks. bothers me. I'll tell you, it bothers me. Why in the world would somebody sit in a Baptist church, hear the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, hear the gospel preached time in and time out, and then one day the Jehovah's Witnesses come knock on their door, have a Bible study with them, and then they've done give up the church and they've gone to the Jehovah's Witnesses? Why do they do that? I'll tell you why. They're blinded. Their minds are not open to the truth. And brother, they don't go in the right direction. Many have not been saved and transformed by the grace of God first place. Amen. And I'm here to tell you tonight that they'll get involved in the cults. They'll join up with the cults. And then the cults, they become what I call religious but lost. A lot of them are religious. Somebody said, asked me the other day, you think so and so in certain churches are saved? I said, if they've been born again, they are. You said, do you believe that some of those folks in some of the charismatic churches say that? I said, yeah. If they've been born again, they are. Why do they stay there then? They don't know any better. Hadn't been taught the truth. It's hard to teach them the truth. I found out people don't want the truth. They want what they want to hear, what they've been taught. Brother, they don't want to let the Word of God be the final authority. But the Word of God, if it's not in the Word of God, leave it alone. Amen. Now, there's some things tonight I don't know about. Amen. You said the preacher don't know about it? Yeah, and you don't either. Amen. And there's those things I don't know about, I'll leave alone. But those things I know about, brother, I'll preach it just like it is. Those things I know. You know what I know about? What's in this book. Amen. Without reading between the lines. Amen. Some of y'all know a whole lot about the Bible, but you're reading between the lines. Now, this is not some government paper. And this is not some kind of political stand. Now, and this is not some kind of, excuse me, brother, insurance policy. You're not having to read between the lines. All that kind of junk you have to read between the lines to get all of it. Amen. But this book you don't have to read between the lines. Am I right? Amen. This book's straight out forward. Amen. And praise God for it. Well, you get the cults. Well, you know what a cult is? A cult is something that deviates from the truth. Let me kind of give it to you what the kind of says in the dictionary. It says those who place worship upon a person, a thing, or a doctrine. Amen. Now, if you've got a religion tonight that you placed upon a person, a thing, or a doctrine, you're in a cult. Amen. You said, I thought we was on Jesus yet. Now, I'm talking about this is outside Jesus now. Amen. If you've got your trust in somebody called Mary Baker Eddy, if you're ringing the bells of Joseph Smith, if you're beating the drum of Ellen G. White, Seventh-day Adventist, the scientist, you know, and amen, all that crowd, if you're a drummer for Charles Taz Russell, Jehovah's Witness, if you're running for Confucius, if you're running after Buddha, or if you're chasing Muhammad, I'm here to tell you, you're in a cult. Amen. Praise God. My Savior didn't sit down under a tree and see an angel come down and give him some golden plates. He come out of glory, took on the form of flesh. Amen. All those are cults. Amen. If you don't know about them, you ought to at least get enough knowledge to know what you're talking about to say something about it. But that's what a cult is. And we got a lot of them. They're involved in the cults. They jump to this, and I could name you cult after cult after cult. Somebody run to Roman Catholicism. It's a cult. Someone says, oh, 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 oh. Amen. Don't dumbfound me to say it. Praise God. Don't bother me. Amen. I see them say Mass at so-and-so a time on the side of the road, and I want to stop and change that A to an E all the time. I've always wanted to do that, but I don't want to go to jail. Instead of a Mass, it's a mess. Amen. I do say there's no hope in the Pope. That's right. These are cults. And we can name cult after cult after cult. If you're basing what you have upon a person, unless it's Jesus Christ. If you're basing what you believe tonight on a thing, a cross. Amen? Or a certain book. I read after these cults down through the years, and Ellen G. White, did you know she's probably one of them? Well, at one time, I don't know where she still holds that record, but she wrote more books than any other woman in her particular time, and probably still holds that record. Somebody gave me a book one day, and it said, had a bunch of them, and I looked at it, and it's, I read a little bit, but I didn't see the title. As a matter of fact, the page, the cover tore off of it. I was reading it, and I said, oh, this sounds pretty good. This sounds pretty good. And I got to looking, and it's wrote by Ellen G. White. Seventh-day Adventism. Amen. You know what she said? She said, of all the Ten Commandments, she dreamed a dream one day, and that one stood out and had a halo and a glow to it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And she preached that the rest of the time. And so now they have been preaching the same thing. Amen. Well, that's cults. Let's stay in the cults a while. What happens to them? They get disheartened. There's nothing to it. Amen. That's why some folks get out of the Baptist. They don't think there's anything to it because they hadn't got in it. Now, if you get in the Baptist will mess you up. But if you ever get the Baptist Christ in you, amen, it'll change you. You hear me? So we can run out to the Baptist, we get in trouble. We run out to Christ, we'll be all right. Now, let's go a little further. What happens to them? They get into what we call the occult. Our nation today is, I mean, wrapped up in the occult. Now, I see some of you look at me and say, I don't know what you're talking about, and I ain't so sure you know where you're talking about the right thing or not. But let me just share a few things with you. What is the occult? Preacher, I thought the same thing as the cult. No, the C-U-L-T, cult, and that's the reason I mentioned it first, because it's different than the occult, old C-C-U-L-T. The occult is deeper and further from the truth. And it's a stage further. So what happens? These people get into cults. The cults haven't satisfied. They get into the truth. And the truth, because they don't know Christ, don't satisfy them. So they get in the cult. And then the cults do not satisfy them. And the next thing you know, they go to the occult. And it's all around us tonight. I'll tell you where it comes from. They get involved with it. This is what they do when they start dealing with the supernatural. When they start dealing with the supernatural, and then they have what they call today the psychic phenomena. How many has ever heard of that? Yeah, see, I know you dead Baptists heard a few things. You might not know what it was, but you've heard of it, haven't you? The psychic phenomena. And that's going up and down our country. And that is relying on demons and spirits to achieve their goals and get where they want to go. Just like there's a Holy Spirit, there's an unholy spirit. Just like there's a Spirit of God, there's a Spirit of the devil. I started on this Sunday morning in the Sunday school and didn't finish. And I'm just touching a little bit up now. Now, if you look that word occult up in the dictionary, it means hidden, secret, and mysterious or supernatural. People are looking for something supernatural. I found in my day that people are looking for something they can see. They're not wanting to walk by what they cannot see, which is called faith in the Word of God. They want to walk by flesh and walk by sight and not walk by, amen, the right things called the Spirit of God. They don't want to walk by faith. The Bible said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So people are looking to see what they can see. That's why they chase the miracles. That's why they chase the works of Christ. That's why they'd rather have those things. That's why they'd rather go to the meetings where they're casting out demons and slaying people in the Spirit and speaking in tongues and those sort of things. They want something that they can see. Praise God, I was there. I felt it. Amen. And I told you, I can get around two sources. I can get around where the Spirit of God is. Brother, I can feel a touch and a tug upon my heart. I can feel good and know something's real about it. But I can also get around the spirit of evil and I know there's something real too. Somebody said, it makes me pat my feet. That don't mean it's the Spirit of God. Somebody that said, it makes me clap my hands. While they do that off down yonder at the stadiums. How many of them, when they're running the football, you think that's the Spirit of God that they're screaming and shouting off of? I know better. Amen. And they think that things are... And so the demons and the powers of darkness have a same touch, in a sense. I was talking about something that you can feel. It's not the same, but it's real. You said, preacher, you mean the powers of darkness are real? I've been preaching that for 46 years, that the powers of darkness are real. I can't get people to believe that. That's why people can't see the truth. Those powers of darkness. Well, I had a feeling come, like that lady I told you. She said the Spirit of God came in at my husband's dying bedside in the window, down the foot of the bed, come up the side, lit up on my shoulder. And I've been speaking in tongues ever since. Amen. First thing I want to tell you this. The Holy Spirit don't have to come in a window and around the foot of the bed. If you're saved by the grace of God, He's already there in your heart. Amen. Say amen. Praise God. What they're looking for is some... You said it did it in Acts 2. Yeah. That's when He came. But He ain't left. Show me in the Bible where the Spirit of God left after the day of Pentecost. Amen. You give me a scripture on it. I'm talking about in the King James Bible. You might find some of these other weirdos that they call Bibles, it might have it. I don't know. I don't bring nothing like that to me. But take the same Bible I'm preaching out of tonight. Show me in the Word of God. And I'll have something different to say maybe. Amen. How does it get here? It's got here through this modern New Age movement. It's been around for ages. But it's got manifested in these last days that we are in today through the New Age movement. And all this junk that's going on. Now here's how it's happened to our young people. Young people are more interested in the occult now than most anybody. Us old hard-headed rascals like you and me, they're not going to give in to that. But our young people are gullible. They haven't been taught much about the truth. Many of them hadn't heard even what I'm preaching tonight, but I'm telling you, it's out there. They're getting it through books. More books now are written on the occult than there's ever been in the history of man. Magazines. More magazines put out on the psychic portion of the world. Somebody said, we got so many psychics. We got programs on the TV that you watch. Brother, shame on you that you watch a psychic program that they can see these things and they can figure these things out. That's demonic. Amen. You said, I don't believe all that's true. You need to get you a Bible and go back to school. Amen. I mean, they can see what's... You watch them programs. Well, they're some of my best programs, preacher. You're knocking some of my best programs. I like it. When they go get them psychics, they help them solve the problems. Hollywood can do a lot of things. Amen. You want your problem solved? Get you a Bible. Get on your knees and get the Spirit of God on you and God will solve your problems. Matter of fact, He'll take care and get rid of some of them problems you've already created for yourself. And it comes in through some heavy metal music. All these rock groups and all, dope smoking and all that kind of junk. Sexual perversions of all kinds. That's where they trade a lot of devils and demons. I won't get too deep into this tonight, but I'll tell you that's where a lot of demons and devils have been traded across America, and people are full of demons and devils. Somebody said, well, I believe he's full of the devil. You don't know sometimes, you're probably telling the truth. Why do some of these people so weird and act like they act and do the things that they do? What would make a man want to walk up somewhere and take a gun out and kill people? He's got to be demon-possessed, full of the devil. You said, he's got a mind wrong. That's right. The devil has blinded his mind and he cannot see the glorious gospel. You said, they've got mental problems. Where'd they get them mental problems? From them demons. Amen. Amen. Well, what is some of that? I could give you a list about this long tonight on things that's involved in the occult, but I'll just name you a few of them just in case you didn't know it. Astrology. Some people want to get into astrology. Calling up the dead. Seances. Amen. Then you watch it. I heard somebody, I don't know where it's this church. Lord help me. Maybe it wasn't this church. Maybe it wasn't. Oh God, maybe it wasn't. I hope it wasn't. It may have been somebody in this building said, hey, I like that, what is that? Zombies are running around. Living dead? Is that what they call it? What is it? What they call it? Walking dead. I mean, that's my program, preacher. Walking dead. I wouldn't dare even think about talking like that. Walking dead. They got all this stuff, and now somebody sat there and all of a sudden a big knot comes up on his arm and it gives pop, and some animal crawls out. That's entertainment. Well, I don't know what kind of entertainment you like. If you like that, amen, you're a weirdo. Don't tell me. I don't know, and I don't want to know that I got to bunch of church members that are weirdos. Amen. Don't tell me about it. But you see all this. And they'll say, oh, look at that. All the video games and all this kind of junk coming up, brother. That's leaning over to the occult and getting into that. Magic and magical arts. And I hear people go, what are you, I'm going to school. I'm studying magical arts. Amen. I went off one day. We went off to the little place, had a little vacation, went to this place, this hidden magic store, and I walked in that thing, looked at it, and that fella's in there trying to tell you how you can do all this magic. And I was looking, and I thought, it's a sleight of hand, and I know all that stuff just, you know, it's just the way you move and do things and everything. And I thought, well, I'll try that. And I felt so funny and dirty, and I said, I ain't a learning that. Can you just see a preacher, I mean, doing magical tricks? Getting into the occult. Amen. Divination, horoscopes, fortune telling, tarot cards, teacup reading, spirit guides. I hear so much about spirit guides. That's the occult. Wicca, witchcraft, sorcery, voodoo. Some of y'all want the voodoo somebody. Amen. Some of you been hoodooed, but you don't know how to do no voodoo. Amen. You hear me? I'm telling you tonight. And then Ouija boards. I know firsthand of that. Before I ever know better. I mean, if you put it out on the market for a game for kids, hey, it's got to be all right, you know. But it's weird. Demonic. Anybody's got that or get away? Amen. I don't even like playing cards. I know some of you got playing cards and you'll play them things. So I help yourself. I used to preach about them all the time, still do. Amen. I hadn't got it lately, but I get it now. I was preaching one day. And I had the people kind of believing they shouldn't have them playing cards. You said, why? I don't gamble with them. No, but everybody else does. There have been a lot of people lost their lives off a deck of playing cards. And I just leave them alone. And if I walked around seeing you play, and I don't know where you might have been a gambler back years ago, or might be trying to get into the habit of it now. And if you ain't got no cards, I don't have to worry about it. So we had a little picnic, church folks. And, you know, we went down there and the little old girl got her stuff. She had a little sack she carried, her bag she carried. T- turned it up and dumped it out, and it was fixed to eat, and her sandwiches fell out, and all the other stuff. And there went her deck of cards, and they went everywhere. And her mama said, "I told you not to bring him. I told you not to. The preacher don't like him." Well, she went all hysterical. I thought, well, she'd just get rid of him at home. You wouldn't have to worry about the preacher. Amen. Well, then it ends up, somebody said, "I thought the occult's the worship of Satan." It ends up that way. All that, you're doing that. When you're playing Ouija boards, you're giving time for Satan. You're giving him time. Do you know what the key ingredients for the occult is? I read this. You look the statistics up and you'll see what I'm talking about. What causes people to fall into the occult? One word, it says. Rebellion. Rebellion. That word rebellion causes them to fall into them business of being into the occult. And then it goes on to say it, there's three types of rebellion. Any child or any person tonight that's involved in one of these three or all three of them or a portion of them may not be in the occult, but they stand in the possibility of it. Number one, rebellion against parents. Every child that ever rises up to rebel against their parents in a mighty way, I'll guarantee you they could fall for the occult easy. And in that, there's one word, and that is the reason they have that rebellion. Number two, those who rebel against society. Some rebel against the family in the home, and that's usually where it happens first. Then they rebel against society. They do not want society to get ahead of them, so they rebel against it. They don't want the society to have any part of them. Then the third one is they rebel against Christianity. They rebel, as a matter of fact, that actually is first. They rebel against the Bible. They rebel against preaching. They rebel against the things of God. That is the first act of rebellion. I just put it on the third one, but it's the first one. Because if they rebel against God, they'll rebel against the parents and they'll rebel against society. And what happens is this, and this reason I put it in that order. Rebellion means tonight that they don't like authority. Children don't like authority of their parents over them. They don't want to be told what to do. How many times do I hear in this modern day that kids say, "I don't want the old man telling me what to do. I'm a man or a woman of my own, and I'm on my own. I can do as I please." And they'll do that 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years, and they think they can do that, and they do it while they're still at home. They can't hardly wait to get out of home. To be on their own. We're living there today, ladies and gentlemen. Secondly, they rebel against society. They don't want society to tell them what to do. That's the reason they go on the job. They won't show up on time. That's the reason they lay out when they want to lay out. They go from one job to another job but won't even work a job. Because they rebel against society because they don't want society dictating when they can get out of bed and when they have to come into work. You know about that, don't you? You deal with a lot of folks like that, don't you? I'm talking about on your job. Amen. And then the third one is they rebel against the church and Christianity. They don't want the church to tell them what to do. They don't want God to tell them what to do. So they go to the occult. They're looking for something else. Notice this. I'll give you some scriptures. I'll give you three or four scriptures out of the Old Testament. Couple of three out of the new, and we'll go home. 1 Samuel 15:23 said, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." This is Saul. He was sent out to take care of Amalek. He went up, he was supposed to kill, or King Agag, I guess it was, whatever king it was, he was supposed to kill and take everything, and while he was there, he come back, and guess what he done? He spared him. Spared some. And he said, "I done what I was supposed to do." And he said, what's the blate of these sheep?" He said, "Well, I brought them back for sacrifice." God said, "That ain't what I told you to do. I told you to get rid of all." And God said, "I'll take your kingdom from you." Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 6 said, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people." God said, "You fool around with the familiar spirits and the wizards, and you get in there and fool with them," and God said, "I'll cut you off." And when God cuts you off, brother, that's trouble. Deuteronomy chapter 18, several verses, verse 9. Deuteronomy 18 and 9 said, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire." They were used to run their kids through the fire and offer them to the gods. Amen. You said, "We don't do that in America anymore." Why, we do so. We're not actually running through literal fire, but we're letting them get involved in everything under the sun that's ruining their soul. "Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do." God said, "You leave all that alone." Amen. Take your Bible. Go to 1 Timothy. 'll give you time to turn. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We've read this time and again here at this church. 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to" what? "Seducing spirits." That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the demons. "And doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and what? Prayer." So God said that's going to happen in the latter times. We go to Acts chapter number 13. Go to Acts chapter 13. We'll close with this one. This is where we're living in America. People are involved in the occult. I'd like to make a long preaching series. And maybe we'll get on one of these days, but not right now. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. Acts 13, 6. "And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet," and that means he wasn't of God now, "a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus." Isn't that strange? "Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer," for so is his name by interpretation, that's his other name, "withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, 'O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?'" That's what the occult does. Perverts the ways of God. You find somebody trying to pervert the right truth, and I'll guarantee you they're involved in the demon spirits. They may not be, filled with them, but they're controlled by them. "And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand." God sent blindness on him. You get that? Brother, these things tonight are serious. Church members laugh off the occult. They laugh off Hollywood movies and versions of this stuff. Count it of just entertainment. But we need to get ourselves away from the powers of darkness as much as we possibly can. To separate ourselves and come to the truth. To stay with the truth. We need to walk in the light as He is in the light. And that's the only way we can have fellowship with Jesus. And have His blood cleanse us from all sin. Listen. We need to realize tonight that we need the power of the Spirit of God upon us constantly, to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Amen. Be what God wants us to be. Or we're going to be influenced by the occult. You're seeing the influence of it everywhere you go today. Not paying much attention to it, but it's there. The powers of darkness are all around us. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You don't take the fundamentals of the faith and hold to the truth of what's in there, you'll be subject to the cults. They won't satisfy you either, and you'll head to the occult. Try to substitute the things of God. God help us. Let's stay.